We are in the final week of a series called Unstuck. Believe it or not, this is a New Year's series. It's February, you're all like, New Year, yeah, and like 2018, like it is, we're way into it, right? But this was a New Year's series that we started the first Sunday of January because we wanted to talk about ways that we got stuck, often the ways we get stuck in a prior year and how to get unstuck from those things and move forward in life. So we looked at things like your relationship with God, how to get unstuck in your relationship with God, how to grow in your faith. That's not easy, right? But we looked at some ways you can do that. We talked about how we get stuck in relationships sometimes and how it's difficult and how you can move forward in relationships. Last week, we looked at, I thought it was so powerful to think about our thoughts and especially as it relates to our past. And we talked about the spiritual discipline of capturing your thoughts, right? The spiritual skill and how we often get stuck because of our past and because of our thinking, especially about the past, our history, and where we've been. So that's where we've been so far. Today, I want to close out this series. We're going to start a new one again next week, but I want to talk about our church today. And by that, I mean Quest, this church. If this is your home, this is especially meaningful to you today. If you say, this is my family, this is my church, then I want to talk about our church. If you're checking this church out, you're new, this is a great Sunday to be here because you can hear from me things that we hope for those who are a part of our church. And so what I want to do, the reason I'm talking about the church is because I want to talk about how churches can, you know, churches can get stuck. And I don't want our church to get stuck, do you? So what do we do to make sure our church doesn't get stuck? I'm going to share with you some things that I think we can do on this final week of this series, talk about how I hope our church doesn't get stuck, all right? So that's what this is about. But I want to start by talking about where we've been. I want to show you that our church has been moving forward. And so one of the things I do every year is something called an annual report, a Quest annual report. And these are going to be numbers that I'm going to share with you for 2017, the entire 2017 year. I did not mean for it to be the same week as the State of the Union, but there you go, all right? So this is kind of state of the church, if you will. You don't have to stand up and clap for things you like or don't like, all right? Just clap for all of it, amen? All right? This is good stuff. So I want to share with you our annual report, but before I do, it's going to be about numbers, and so sometimes people go, numbers, they're not that important. One of the things I always say here at Quest is numbers matter because numbers are people, and people matter to God. So every number you see is a person, every single one of these. It's you, and it's new folks who have gotten connected to our church over this last year as well. So numbers are important because numbers represent people, and people matter to God more than anything else. And so I want to share with you where we were in 2017. That's going to kind of set us up for what I want to talk about today. But we're going to send this out in an email tomorrow. And so if I'm running through this quick and you're a numbers stats person, you're like, I tracked last year too. I want to compare. Well, I've tracked most of it for you, but we're going to send this out so you can look at it in detail if you're one of those folks that like to do that. And I appreciate you reading it. We put a lot of work into making this accurate. All right, so here, annual report for 2017. It's broken into our major ministry areas. The first is weekend worship, where you are right now. All right, so in 2017, the bigger orange number there, we had 44 people say yes to Jesus in 2017. That is an amazing thing. Every one of those are a person whose lives was changed forever, for better, for Jesus, for the kingdom. And I love that. Average attendance for 2017 was 612. The year before it was 531. That's a 15% increase. What's really exciting, we're tracking it right now, is we are showing even more increase this year already. And I just think that's amazing. So I hope that continues. Member owners, those are people who have joined our church officially. 358 of you are members of our church. I always like to point out here, it's a very healthy sign, if you don't know church stats and stuff like this, that you have more people attending than you have members. Makes sense, right? A lot of times what you'll see is a ton of members, but not a lot of attendance based on that. So we're a newer church, but we have still been tracking there, and I'm so glad to see that. 577 people visited last year, walked into our doors. And some of you are here, so I'm so glad. If you were a first-time guest last year and you're at our church today, you're one of those numbers. You matter. I'm really glad that you're here. It takes 119 people average to do what we do on just Sunday mornings. Thank you for those of you who serve. All right, next screen, next generation, very important to us. Shows you in 2017, we had 149 average kids. That's birth through fifth grade on any given Sunday morning. That's a 17% increase. And what's cool is that it was also 17%, made it easy for us, at the nighttime kids programs that we have as well. This was really exciting to see. Average Sunday night attendance in students, 6th through 12th grade, 85% increase in 2017 over 2016. God has been good to us, and those students are getting involved, and that's so incredible. All of you who serve in our student ministry, especially adults, thank you. I mean, I want to thank the students for being there, but it's because of you and the relationships you form with them. So thank you for what you do. Can we give God praise for that? I mean, that is just awesome, awesome, awesome. Those numbers matter. I have young people. I have teens in that 47 number, and I'm so glad they're there. I really am. All right, next screen, community. This shows you how many groups we have, 30 in 2017, how many group leaders we have, new community groups. Community events are things like Easter egg hunt, stuff like that, that we did as a church. And what's really exciting is this number. I had to do a double take, 368 people in community, which is 79% of average adult worship attenders. That is above the national average, which falls, I think, in the 50 to 60% range. So excited. If you're a community group leader, thank you for leading small groups in our church. It is very important that we have that. And I'm so thankful to so many of you who lead those groups and are involved in those groups. All right, the next one is mission. And we had 13 local missions that we supported around this area. Missionaries sent to Belize, Belize mission trips last year. And then total dollars spent on missions are always approximated because we're always doing things and can't quite calculate all the numbers. Indirect money would be things like y'all brought bikes and backpacks and things like that for certain things, and we try to calculate the value of that. So thank you for your investment in mission in our church as well. The next screen is financials. I always like to share those. $1.3 million almost was given in 2017. Amazing. So thankful for that. The breakdown of what that looks like is below it, the general budget. Imagine, which is our building fund, Belize fund, Next Gen fund, and then other money that came in for certain things that we were doing, designated funds. The previous year was $1,077,000, so you can see there was an increase. Very, very thankful that God continues to provide for our church through your giving. I always tell people, money bags don't fall from heaven in the playground. I look every Monday, there are none there. It's your generosity that enables this to happen by giving to your church. So thank you so much for that. And then finally, this last screen, one that I understand the least about, but is so important in our culture, social media. And I don't know what a tweet impression is down there, but we have a lot of them. In fact, just that was six times the year before. And I always like to point out, Joseph Norden does our worship, but he's also over communications as it relates to social media. And six times the year before, I mean, he's doing something. I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing some wonderful stuff with that because I don't understand how that works. But I'm very, very thankful to him and all the work that goes into all of that. And all of that increased, by the way, over the year before. We live in a social media, a web world, an online world, and so we need to be engaged in that. That's it. That's the last screen. I think we should pause and give God thanks for an amazing 2017. Can we do that? Because here's the thing. These numbers show me, and they're real numbers, and I got to be honest, whenever I get the numbers, I always go, oh gosh, what are they going to be? Because we all want numbers, don't you? I mean, if you say it's not about numbers, I'd be like, well, I'd be happy to lower your paycheck if it's not about numbers. You don't want that. You want your paycheck doing what? Going like this, right? We always want that kind of upward trending in momentum. It's a sign of health in the church as well, and so many good things happening. And so when we get those numbers, I'm always wondering what they're going to be. I think they're good, but man, they're good. And it reminds me, it tells me this. Our church here at Quest is not stuck. There's been a lot of movement over the years, and you can see that in 2017 over 2016. I pray next year in 2018 we see the same kind of movement. But there's a reason, a big, big reason our church is not stuck. Do you know what that is? I know you want to say God, and that is the right answer. It's always the right answer. Can I get an amen? But that's not the answer. It's part of the answer, obviously. But beyond that, you are the reason our church is not stuck. It's raining, that's what that is. You are the reason that our church is not stuck. And I'm so thankful to you. But when I say you, I also have to unpack that a little bit, and that's what I want to do today, is talk about the characteristics that you display that cause us to not be stuck. There's certain things about you. It's not just you. It's that you're doing certain things. If you're a part of this church, if this is your family, if this is your home. And I said, if you're a guest with us today, I want you to hear what people are doing in our church community that cause us to not be stuck and to be moving forward. There's five things, five characteristics that I think are so important that you are displaying, and I want to talk about those today. As we fully engage in 2018, I want to challenge us to be about these things. You may say, with some of these, I'm doing great with these. There might be other places where you go, man, I need to work on that. That's fine. I'm the same way. We need to grow in these areas. But the first is this, attending. And y'all are doing that today, even in the rain, even with that loud rain on the roof. You're attending. Right? You're here. Your presence is in this place, and we're really glad that you're here with us. So thank you. But it's not just attending in worship like you're doing today. It's also being present in other events. I'm going to tell you in a minute what there are some benefits to attending, being here, being a part of the church. There was an awesome event. Were any of you ladies at the women's event yesterday? All right? A good number of you. Wasn't it awesome? I wasn't here because it was a women's event and I wasn't invited, but my wife was here and so many, all the people that put all the work into it. I'm looking out and I see some of you help with decorations and all this stuff. It was amazing. I came in, I was like, this looks like a wedding, man. This could be, you know, I imagine guys getting together, you know. It wouldn't have looked nothing like that, I promise you. Y'all were over the top. It looked amazing, amazing. And so I wanted to show you, it's other events, like the Grace Like a Wave event. When you attend things like that, it's just awesome. Look at all these women who are here. Like about 150 women came in here yesterday to be together, to grow together, to connect together, to be in relationship with each other. So it was just an awesome, awesome day, and I'm so thankful for all of you who came, and again, were a part of that. So I want to give you a challenge. As you're in 2018 and we're a month into it, can I challenge you to something with attending church? And for some of you, you might be like, hey, I'm going to get to relax a little bit. Others of you are going to be like, man, I don't know if I can do that. But I want to give you a challenge. Attend church, worship at least, 77% of the year. Why 77? If you skipped one Sunday a month, or you were out, or you were on vacation, you were sick or whatever, one Sunday a month, guess what? You'd be here 77% of the time. You know what's really cool about that? The number 7 in the Bible is like the number of perfection. So it's kind of a perfect number. I'm glad I didn't pick 66, aren't you? Right? I picked 77. And I was like, that's pretty crazy. I was like, what if we missed one Sunday a month? What would that look like? So some of you might go, I can't do that. Well, why not? Now, I get vacation sick. I'm not that kind of pastor. Please understand. But if you can be here, be here. Why? Why is it important that I'm here, John? Because there are benefits to attending. Number one, you get spiritually grounded, rooted in your faith. It helps you to grow. I pray that happens when you're in worship. But secondly, and another important reason is relationships. You'll hear that throughout the message today. We need to be in relationship with one another. It's a great opportunity to get connected to other people. That's why yesterday was so good, because women got connected with one another who are going through things that they might be going through, and they share life together. You do life together. So when you attend church, it's not just about coming to church. We're not just trying to check you off. That's not the point. There's more to it. It's about being present. It's about spiritual rootedness and growth. It's about also connecting with other people. So I want to challenge you to that. It goes without saying this, that churches that are growing have people that are attending. Amen? So I want to start there. I said that one of the reasons our church is not stuck is because we have people who are attending, and so it's you. But those are the characteristics of people. If you're watching online, you do things like that, I want to encourage you to do that. That's great, but attending, being here present, is important as well. The second thing, inviting. Not sure you've heard that before, but basically what I'm doing here is asking you to invite other people to the experience and the place that you love. If you love this church, why not invite people you love to the church you love? Amen? I mean, get them involved in what you have gotten involved in. I always tell people, go to the church you love, invite people to the church you love. If you don't love this church, let me help you find a church you love. I mean, there are plenty of churches around. I get that you may not love it here. Find a church that you love, that you want to be a part of. That is so important. So that you can invite people. And I always say as well, you will care more about church on the day you invite somebody than any other day. Because you're like, man, it better be good. John better be on. Coffee better be good. He better not be talking about money. By the way, if you invited somebody, I'm going to be talking about money in a few minutes. But it's all right. Here, this is incredible about inviting. Can I give you, I looked up some statistics because I was wondering. The statistic is that 82% of people would attend a church if somebody invited them. 82%. That's the national statistic. You have a very high chance of success at 82%. So that means 8 out of 10 times, a little better than 8 out of 10 times, if you invited somebody, they would come. Now, this is interesting. Let me show you another number, 2%. This is the percentage of church people who do invite people in a given year. Wow, is right. I couldn't believe it. Maybe we're doing better here. I think we are, but even if we are, that's the national average. So while 8 out of 10 would attend if somebody would ask them, way less than 1 out of 10 are even asking people to come to church. And this blew my mind. 7 out of 10, look at that number, of unchurched people have never been invited to church. 7 out of every 10 people who do not go to church have never even been invited to church. And so my challenge is, we've got to do better. Obviously, as the church with a capital C, big C church, but here at Quest, our church, let's do better. Let's invite people to be a part of what God is doing. For those of you who invite people, thank you. I'm so thankful. As I look at these numbers, I'm so thankful. For those who haven't, let's get engaged in inviting. And this is one of those areas where I'm like, man, when's the last time I invited somebody? I was talking to some folks between the services today about it, and I'm like, you know those little cards that you see everywhere around this church? They look like little business cards. They're in the bathrooms. They're out in the lobby. You know what those are? Invite cards. Take as many as you want. Take the whole stack. We'll replace them. I carry them with me all the time, because when I'm talking to somebody, an opportunity comes up, I say, oh, and here's the church. And it's got a little map on the back, the 3 service times, and our website. It's just, and it shows them that you were prepared. And I'm not telling you to, please don't go around sticking them in your neighbor's mailboxes and stuff like this. I don't do that. I don't like it. I don't believe in that. I think it's through relationship, if the opportunity presents itself. Some weeks I give some away, some weeks I don't, but I'm always thinking, who could I invite? Who needs to hear the message? Who needs to be connected with people who will love them. See, because, church, we have the best message there is. So why would you not want to invite people to hear the best message there is? Amen? And by the way, we have the best people in the world here because you're followers of Jesus, so many of you, and that means you're loving and you're welcoming and you're compassionate and you're non-judgmental, amen? You're all of these things. And so when anybody comes into our church community, they are welcome where they are, exactly where they are. So inviting people, just so important. It's obvious that churches that are growing are inviting people to the church that aren't getting stuck. The next one is where churches take off, serving. Man, when you get involved in serving, makes all the difference. You saw it takes 119 people any Sunday just to do what needs to be done. And we're not talking about just serving in the church. We're talking about outside the church. So many of you have gone to Belize. So many of you do Second Saturdays, local missions and things where we get outside the church as well. But this is where the church takes off when people get involved in service. And so you've heard the statistic, maybe, not sure if you're not in church, maybe you haven't heard this, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's almost always the case in any church. It's crazy. That about one in five get involved in service. So get involved in service. What would it look like if everybody who called Quest home did one thing? It would mean some people didn't have to do 12. It really would. It would also mean that you would be engaged and focused in that one thing, and man, it would make a huge difference in your life. Now, those of you who like to do 12 things, super servants, God be with you. I don't know how you do it, but I'm thankful for you. We couldn't do what we do without you. We always need more people to serve at Quest, always. It's always the case that we need more people to serve. And so a couple benefits of serving. I mentioned some of attending. Here's a couple of serving. The joy of living life that's not centered on me. I think it's real. I'm a selfish person. I'm talking about myself. Anybody else in the house? Y'all are kind of tired. Anybody selfish? One of the best ways you can be unselfish is go serve some people. So I was setting up some things this week, and I was like, did you hear that? Here at the church, I was like moving some chairs and stuff around. I was like, you know what? I'm supposed to be serving. And so all of a sudden, it kind of gets off of you to other people why I'm doing this. So we all need to be involved in service. It makes a big difference, gets the attention off of me and, you know, being so selfish. But the second thing is you get to know some other people. And we talked about relationships earlier, but this is another place relationships just flourish, is in service areas. I have noticed that people that serve together get to know each other and they like to be together. And so when you serve, that happens in our kids' ministries, hospitalities, all over the place. Just amazing. So growing churches obviously have people who serve. All right, the next one, some of you are going to want me to skip. I'm not going to. Giving. Giving. Now, a church can be doing great in the other four. I got one more coming. But if they're not doing well in this area, the church can still get stuck. Giving. And I am talking here about finances, generous giving to the church. And before I say a word about this, let me say this personally. I would never ask you to do what I'm not willing to do myself and what I don't do. Shauna and I, my family, do what I'm about to share with you. I would be a hypocrite to stand up here and say what I'm saying if I didn't do it myself. And so I want you to know we do that. Here's what I would ask you to do when it comes to giving. One of two things. If you can, if you would, I would boldly ask you to pray and tithe. Tithe to the church. That's a churchy word, tithe. People ask me what it means. It means giving your first fruits, your first 10% to God and His work. People go, well, I don't want to give it to the church. I want to give it to God. Well, okay, throw it up in the air. It doesn't go anywhere. Amen? It falls right back in your hands. We have to give it to His church and His mission and the things. And I get there are many, many, many worthy missions, and some of you give to those things as well. Wonderful. But I'm talking about, will you give to God's church here at Quest, especially if this is your family, if this is your home? So I saw years ago an example of what this looks like. So every time I talk about tithing, I go and steal $10 from my kids. This is commission money. Where we, if they do their work, we pay them for that work. We give them kind of an allowance, a commission, it's called. So here's tithing. It's very simple. Every time God gives you 10 of these, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What do? I give him 1. John, there's 9 left. I can do what I want with that? Sure. He says, give me the first 1. That's important because a lot of times I think what happens is this is the way we view tithing. It's I'll give God what's left. How much is left when you do that? Same with me. Never. It's never there. Tithing for Shauna and I has become just a part of our habit. It's in our budget. I actually list it in our budget. I have a budget, and it's listed, and it's the first thing that goes. It's got to be. Otherwise, if I waited till the end of the month, guess what I would have left? What you have left. Same thing, nothing. And so for us, it's become a part of what we do. So every time God gives you 10 of these, you give him 1 of these. That's tithing. And it's simple, but it's difficult to do. Can you imagine what our church would be like if everybody who called Quest home tithe? I can't even tell you. I've said this before. We'd have meetings to give money away, which we already do, but we wouldn't know how to give enough of it away, which is awesome. You want to give more to local things? I always say this too. This will blow your mind. I'm not joking. We've done the research. If everybody who called Quest home tithe, can I just tell you, these buildings would already be paid for. They would have been paid for day one when we came in. I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. I'm saying it for us to dream about what God can do. I don't like a mortgage on this building any more than you like a mortgage on your house, right? But when we sacrificially invest, all of us, it makes a huge difference. What if I can't tithe, John? I just can't get there, man. I hadn't ever heard of this before. I want to, because see, I believe everybody in this room wants to tithe. I believe you want to do it. It's just this thing of, so hard, I've never done that. Well, become a percentage giver then. That's what Shauna and I did to start out. We didn't really give anything, so we started giving a percentage, and it took us a few years till we got to the tithe, 10%. So become a percentage giver, but choose what percentage you're going to give and do that. Why would you do this? For the work of the church, what God is doing through Quest, what he wants to continue to do through our church. I used to say, God doesn't need our money. I'm not sure where I got that. He does. He does. The church does not function without people giving. If everybody stopped giving tomorrow, we'd be in serious trouble. Amen? You know that would happen. We couldn't do what we do. We couldn't have the ministries we have. We couldn't have had the event yesterday. We couldn't go to Belize. We couldn't have all those students involved in what's going on. We couldn't pay our staff to serve you. We couldn't. None of these things could happen. And so when you give, percentage giving or tithing, it makes a difference in what God wants to do. Can I give you one stat to show you? This is going to sound negative, but I want to use it as an opportunity to talk about how we can grow. Just one stat. The national average, if you take, this is nationally, okay? The national average for giving per person per week. Does that make sense? This is teens and adults, kids not included in this. If you take the total, and I did this. If you take the total number of teens and adults attending in a year, and you take the giving and you divide that, the national average is $42 per person in 2017, per week, per adult. All right? So our attendance last year, you just multiply it by 42, you'll end up with what that would have been. Ours is 34. Room to grow. We are below average in giving. We just are. I look at statistics and facts, and we are. I don't want that to be negative. I want to go, we have room to grow. Amen? So if we would all get involved in that, it would make a difference. Man. And by the way, I want to say a word of thanks to those of you who are regular, consistent givers in our church. I get sometimes hard times come and you can't do that or whatever, but regular, consistent giving is what makes our church happen. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. It's regular, consistent, weekly or monthly, however you do that, giving that makes the church work. I wanted to make this real personal, and so I took this year's budget. That is it. That's not all the other funds, that's the general budget, the general operational budget of our church for 2018 is $880,000. Let me show you a small sliver. $8,640. You know what that is? It's my family's amount. That's what we're given in 2018 to this church. I want to be that forthright with you. I wish it was more, but that's what I'm given to the church. That represents a tithe for us. And so my question would be, what's your sliver? What's your amount? Could be smaller than mine. Could be barely seen on there. It could be a lot bigger than that. But it's every one of those together that help us to get to where we need to go. So what's your part in this? All right. Last word. Grouping. Did you make that up, John? No, actually, I was at a conference, and Andy Stanley was talking, pastor at North Point, author, and he said he had some ING words as well, like I have, and he was like, I just had to have all ING words. That's what preachers do, and so grouping just makes sense, right? What this means is you move from where you are now into smaller groups. That as the church gets bigger, the church also gets smaller. It's not enough to just sit in worship and be here. We also must be in groups. So get in a service group, get in a community group, get in a mission group, get in some kind of group, because those are the places that you really grow in relationship with other people. It's what connects us to God and to one another. I wanted to end today by sharing with you. This is all well and good, right? You're like, yeah, okay, I get it. What difference does this make when people are doing what we've talked about today? I'll tell you the difference it makes. I asked somebody to share a testimony with you today, and this is the Stinnett family. They were at our earlier service. They've just been involved in our church for a few months, and I asked Melissa to share her testimony, her family's testimony. So I want to read it to you. She sent me this week. Finding a new church home after moving is one of the most stressful things about moving to a new area. Some of you get that, right? I was an Army brat. I get it. Having a four-year-old with ADHD does not make the transition any easier. We visited a few churches, and after a few weeks, we would get, quote, the look. Any parent with a child that doesn't fit the mold knows the look. Not him again. I called Quest before visiting and talked to Elizabeth, that's our nursery director, and pretty much asked her, do you want to deal with him or not, before they even came. She assured me that he would be loved and in good hands. I'm so thankful that that's the response that somebody on my staff and every one of you would give a family, amen? We love kids here at Quest. It doesn't matter who they are. We love them, accept them where they are, amen? I mean, they needed to know that they would be loved and accepted here. And I know sometimes it's difficult, and I didn't say to preach at this point in here to myself, but I know sometimes it's difficult. But we have got to continue to do that, because let me tell you what that did. We visited and loved the worship service. When we picked the kids up, they were happy, and Rook said he had fun, and Riley liked holding babies. She was almost three, and anyone in a diaper is a baby to her. That afternoon, I emailed about the small groups because Tony had been saying he wanted to help study in the Bible, not just listening to a sermon. This is Dad. We started going to a small group that Monday night. A few months into it, Tony said yes to a relationship with Jesus. He was attending church and walking the steps, but the biggest detail was missing. He'd never actually said yes to a relationship with Jesus. I found a place serving in the kids' ministry every Sunday now and working other nights as well. I'm due in March with our third child, and I have zero hesitation leaving our little guy with anyone in the kids' ministry here. Quest Church has fulfilled many empty holes in our life and marriage, some we didn't even know were empty. Knowing that I'll be spending eternity with my husband is beyond a shadow of doubt the best gift ever. No matter where life takes us, Quest Church will always hold a place in our hearts. I baptized Tony at the early service today. By immersion, by the way, in that tank over there. All right? This is me baptizing him at 9 o'clock. Look at his son. He looks like my twin brother, doesn't he? He said yes to Jesus, and so we baptized him today. On the day I read this, I asked them for that letter, and Melissa was like, can we baptize my husband this Sunday? I said, yes, we can. I just got an immersion tank. We'll make it like, we will baptize. So, by the way, some of you are like, are we Baptist now? It's not about any of that, y'all. Goodness gracious. We love Baptists. We love Catholic. We love it all, right? I mean, because God loves us. But here's the thing. In the Methodist Church, you can baptize with any mode. We call it modes. It's not the mode, it's the meaning that's important. And so if you're here and you're like, I'd like to be baptized by immersion, I can baptize you by immersion. I got a little tank over there. Sits in my office during the week. Friends, all that stuff I said today about your characteristics of who you are, help us not be stuck, that's good stuff, but that's why we do it, amen? So that people, somebody said to me after the first service, his future, the legacy of their family is forever different. Friends, Quest Church changes lives. It's not me, it's God, it's you, it's all of us together. It changes lives. If it's not changing your life, open your eyes, open your ears. It ought to be changing us. And we need you fully engaged so that God can continue to do the work, because he wants to continue to do the work. Amen? I invite you into this church experience. Let's not get stuck. Let's continue to move forward how God is calling us. Let me pray for us.